Okay, so my daughter plays soccer.
You've heard.
Not very well.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Mia Hamm?
There you go. Maybe not.
Nice. Solid throwback to 1990s soccer. I like it.
Yeah.
The only one I can name.
Right. That's probably as good.
Yeah. She thinks that she's super great at it, which is very fun to watch as a bystander.
Confidence is important.
Yes. Yep. She thinks she wins every game by herself. But she really loves to be goalie, and that arguably is the only position that she's really passable at because sometimes the ball bounces off of her.
Just stand there.
Yeah. But she, the other day at practice, we were watching her, and she blocked a kick, and she actually, like, put her leg out and blocked it, and then she went, "Oh, congratulations, feet. Good job." Thanks so much, feet.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful. Never was in Arkansas or Oklahoma.
But you were looking for Sasquatch.
I was in Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we'd least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a joke that we were trying to make that you were at the Sasquatch festival. Yeah. I'm not quite sure we
didn't commit.
We committed to it.
No. We didn't commit to it.
I listened to that and legitimately thought that you guys had no idea where I was.
No, we knew where you were.
I was like,
my wife listened in, and she's like, "You know she's in Alaska." I'm like, "Yeah, it's supposed to be this joke. We talked about it beforehand, but I don't think we did it right."
Yeah.
Execution.
Sometimes Patrick
lacking.
And I have great ideas.
Yeah, but welcome back from Alaska.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy to have you back.
Was it great?
It was great.
Was it everything you dreamed it would be and more?
Everything and more.
Did you see an Alaskan Sasquatch?
I saw lots of depictions of an Alaskan Sasquatch.
Do they call it squash?
And a moose? Depictions of a moose or an
actual moose? I saw actual meese. Multiple moose.
Moosin.
They're giant.
They're huge, yeah.
Like
and frequently like trample people.
Oh, yeah. Like you think they're big and then you see one and
you're like, oh,
that's
way bigger
than I ever thought of.
Yeah. And it's all in the head.
Yeah, those horns are huge.
Like all the size is up here.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
You see a bear?
No bear. I saw otters, which lost my mind.
Those are adorable.
I would too.
Did they play with you?
No, but they played near me.
Aww, that's
which counts.
That counts.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're friends.
I love otters. They're my spirit animals.
So. Yeah, yeah.
What?
An otter is my spirit animal.
I'm going
okay?
with it, yeah.
I think we're
going
to have to back up and evaluate
we're
this
not.
A little bit.
What's there to evaluate? Do you have a spirit animal?
I don't know. Do I?
Probably.
What's my spirit animal, Patrick?
I don't know. What's a grumpy animal?
Ooh. Shots
grumpy.
Fired.
Probably like I think like an old dog.
An old dog.
Like an old lab. It's kind of like your spirit animal.
He doesn't like pets though.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. You like to run. You're pretty active. Yeah. So I don't know.
I ran 7 miles this morning. Back off, man.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
7 miles.
Yeah.
Are you
at
training
once.
For something, or is that just because you hate yourself?
I just because I hate myself. Okay. Yeah. Just self-flagellation.
Okay.
Every step. God, you deserve this.
Yeah. Eat you so much.
I'm not actively training for a race, but I do have a goal to build up to a marathon at some point. But that's way down the line. I'm not there yet.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, I did a half marathon.
Yeah?
Yeah. I trained up to 8 miles, which was a mistake. Should have trained for the full 13.1.
That would be a wiser choice.
So, word of advice.
5 miles is not nothing to tack on to the end there.
Yeah,
How'd it go?
So miles 1 through 8 were great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miles 8 through 13.1, agony.
Yep, there you go.
Sure.
So made it.
I ran a 5K once. No big deal.
Go.
So
there you go.
All right. I've got some news for us.
All right.
Okay.
The news.
There you go.
Just gone
sorry.
For a week.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
I was gone last week. So
that's right.
Were you not here last week?
Yeah. And we forgot to make a big deal about me being back from Alaska. So now we're doing it.
Yeah. Sorry I missed everybody.
I wanted it.
Sorry I missed.
I want my recognition.
Yeah.
I went to Alaska. It was great.
It's time.
Uh-huh.
It's here.
It's Halloween.
Halloween, yes. But
Christmas?
No.
I don't know.
Valentine's Day?
Time to reevaluate church.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I could have told you that.
Yeah.
That's literally been saying that for years.
Yes. Virgin birth.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Conceived in an all-female shark tank. New Shark Jesus on the scene.
Dun, dun,
shark
dun.
Jesus.
Shark. This is like Sharknado.
Sharknado.
Yes. We have a virgin birth
in
captivity. A tank with two females. One got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Shark Jesus.
This is not news.
It's not news?
This is not news.
This is Jurassic Park. Life will find a way.
So
this is Jurassic
lady
Park.
Sharks are like, you know what we don't need anymore? Boy sharks.
Guess what, folks?
Yeah. Who run
we
the world?
Figured it out.
Right. Girl sharks.
Lady sharks. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Life will find a way. That's what Dr. Malcolm said.
Yeah.
Is that the right name from Jurassic Park?
These two female sharks have been living in the same... in captivity together for 10 years.
Okay, but look at a shark. do you really know that it's female? Come on.
Yeah, like who? How do you know? Who is responsible for saying Lady Shark? Lady Shark.
It's wearing lipstick.
Okay. Wow.
Carrying a purse.
The bone structure. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, classic female, what do you ever want to, you know, generalities. You can place on there.
Yeah, classic inappropriate misogyny. There you go, Patrick. Right. Well done.
Yeah, the first documented case of shark, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, parthenogenesis.
Nailed it.
Ooh.
Boom. A rare virgin birth.
Mm-hmm. At least it's rare. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Some comfort
there. It is Shark Jesus.
Right.
Came to, but. It's not...
The shark's name is now Jesus, right?
It's, no, it's Espira.
Espira?
It was in Italy, so it's got an Italian name.
That's how you say Jesus in Italian.
Well, you use your hand.
Espira. Yeah.
What is Jesus in Italian?
Espira.
Buongiorno.
Basically, it was formed from an egg...
That's that, like, usually where it starts.
Sure. Yes, but it needs the male component of the sperm there.
That's usually my understanding.
This, it's more of like a clone of the mother shark.
Whoa.
So, the mother shark cloned herself?
Kind of.
That's still pretty cool.
What?
Yeah, so like basically like she just really wants a baby, I guess. You know, like, hey.
I'm going to do it. She's there. Figure it out.
This lady. And then, I'm here for it.
So divide.
So her cells made like a clone of herself in utero kind of thing.
Yeah, I need to know how that happens so I can make sure to not do that thing.
Whatever that shark was eating, I do not want to eat that. I like sushi, but no ma'am.
Right.
So don't, well, it means like, hey, don't have a female roommate for 10 years.
Right, yeah. Don't do it.
Don't meditate on how much you would really like to clone yourself.
So how do you feel now that Shark Jesus is on the scene? Are we?
I'm good.
What are we going to do on Sunday mornings?
I think we're comfortable in our faith, at our place.
We definitely need some more shark iconography here in church.
We don't have a whole lot of iconography in general, but go ahead. What do you got? What's my shark iconography? Because I feel like
can we add Shark Week to the liturgy?
Shark Week. That's definitely. I love this. We have Advent followed by Shark Week.
Yeah. That would probably bring more people in right after Christmas.
12 days of Shark Week.
You know, live every week like a Shark Week. So, like, Shark Jesus here. Come to save us from our fins.
There, I knew you were sitting on something. It's like a train. I couldn't get out of the way of it.
Yeah, if we had some shark stained glass, people are coming in. I'm coming in for shark stained glass.
Sure.
The bloodier the better, really.
Wow.
Just a big tank? You know, like here, like even like.
Here's our Lord and Savior.
Like we walk,
Espira.
We walk through the narthex and you're in a big shark tank surrounded by sharks swimming around. I'm in.
That sounds like
that's like Despicable Me with the.
I was gonna say
villain.
It sounds like a villain's lair from an old doctor. Hey,
quiet down, shark.
I'm just telling you, I'm coming into work. I'm just coming into work with a shark tank around me. I'm hyped. Yeah. I'm already like, I'm in.
Are you
like,
hyped or terrified?
A little bit of both.
And
what if that shark might be Jesus?
And it could be Shark Jesus. Right. You don't know.
The adrenaline is kicking. Right. I like it.
Well, if it's all female sharks and one gets pregnant, we have our own Shark Jesus. So.
There it is. New plan.
Right.
Lord of life. Right. Lord of Shark Jesus.
Instead of like bread and wine, though, it's probably, you know, like krill. You know,
that sounds less appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a bite out of some fish.
Yeah.
Fish is a lot.
Sushi. I do like sushi. Sushi. Yeah. Sure. Sounding better and better.
Yeah.
Sushi communion.
Yeah. There you go. Virgin birth.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Pretty exciting.
Same. Jurassic.
What a time to be alive.
Dr. Yeah. Malcolm knew. And life finds a way.
And those, some of the females just became males.
I'm not saying it's like exactly the same thing. I'm saying life finds a way.
It was also not real.
Both female sharks.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Sure,
right?
Sure. If you're an all-female dinosaur commune.
You gotta figure something out.
Who's cloning themselves?
Right. One of the dinosaurs has got to step up to the plate and become a dude.
Right.
I don't know how they choose. Like, that's a real question. Like,
they draw straws.
Right.
Which one, like, is it the manliest? You know, the most traditionally masculine?
Sure. According to dinosaur standards?
Yeah. You know, the dinosaur that prefers a short haircut. Right.
Lord.
Like a deeper hoot.
Do dinosaurs hoot?
Maybe hoot isn't the right word.
Hoot.
I feel like they hoot. I stand by it.
Hoot, hoot. Oh, the Tyrannosaurus is coming. Right. Hoot, hoot. Run away. Jurassic Park would be a whole new movie if we dubbed over the soundtrack with hooting.
I'm in. Somebody do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody out there.
I don't know how to do it.
Someone does.
I'm willing to gather most of our listeners and do not know how to do it.
Somebody does.
But if you do.
But somebody should do it.
Yeah. I know at least six of our listeners. Somebody does.
One of those six do?
Probably not, but somebody does.
All the listeners I know have
do
no
not.
Idea. Right. I have a better chance of doing it than any listener I know of. Yeah. All right. Today we're talking about justice.
That was quite a transition.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're done there.
Yeah, so. We are. I just, that was... Yeah. Abrupt. All right, justice.
Yeah, and we've talked about justice before, but we have talked about justice before. We've talked about kind of more social justice. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about criminal justice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Or the famous Law and Order, dun, dun.
Yes, beyond Sunday, criminal intent. Here we go.
Dun, dun. There it is. In the podcast system, one podcast crew is equipped to handle the... I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah. Beyond Sunday, brought to you by Dick Wolf. Are you okay?
So far, this is the best episode we've ever done.
This is up there. This is solid.
Or worst. I don't know.
We're just manic at this point.
All right.
So we have an article here by friend of the podcast.
Friend.
David French.
David French. Yeah. Welcome back, Dave.
Yeah.
He's here in the room. In the studio with us.
He's like, I'm here, but you guys have got it.
Right, yeah. Thanks, Dave. We got it from here.
He's like...
Though if he's like me, he doesn't like to be called Dave, so I apologize. David, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Davey French.
Davey.
Davey. Yeah. Do not like
Pastor
Davey.
Pastor Davey Bowser.
Please do not call me Davey. Yeah.
You don't like Davey?
I do not like Davey.
All right. Okay. Just David.
This is an
David
opportunity is, to David tell the newest truth. No.
David is my name. Okay. Please use it.
David French.
And that's not my name.
Davey French.
Pastor David French.
I don't think he's a pastor, because he's a lawyer.
He's not a pastor.
He's not.
Yeah.
No.
We've used David French before.
We have.
So I sometimes go to his website and read his blog. I think he's a very thoughtful guy.
Yes.
I don't always agree with him on a lot of things, but
typically conservative from a conservative viewpoint. Openly so.
Yep.
Openly so. An openly conservative viewpoint.
Openly conservative.
Yeah. Yikes. One of those. So here's the byline here. As crime rises, so will the temptation to crack down, yet vengeance is not justice.
Ooh,
that sounds like a good line. Vengeance is not justice. All right.
So this is coming from some data released very recently, this past week, by the FBI.
Yep.
2020 was the largest rise in statistical murder by percent. 29% rise in the average of murders from the previous year. This is the largest increase since 1968.
Man,
that checks out.
And we were all like isolated too. We're like, nobody's supposed to be.
That's why the murders went up.
We're saying like nobody's supposed to be near anybody.
Yeah.
Which is when we started keeping track of this. The FBI started tracking these things
in 1968.
Okay.
So this is the highest increase in murder rate.
It could have happened in like 1965. We just don't.
We
have
just don't
that
know
data.
About it. Yeah,
it probably did.
Yeah.
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 I don't know.
Also, this is, modern murders, too. I feel like ancient history is full of just murders all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of an interesting thing, right? So what are we thoughts right now? Like, boom, a lot of murders happening.
Lots of murders.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those, it's an attention-grabbing headline. It's the kind of thing you're probably going to hear reported on the news if we haven't already. Say, a rise in murder. Nobody's safe. Everybody's in danger. Everybody's going to get killed.
Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Sure. I'm sure there's already going to be a stream of like, boom, hey, that's what defund the police gets you.
Yep, Second Amendment rights, yeah.
Sure, boom, this is what an increased politicization of racial tension between the police gets you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Probably both sides are saying that. This is kind of like what is happening in an increasingly divided society. This is what you're going to get. And so he is going to say here, look, people of faith are to be concerned about justice, and they are, or should be.
We should be.
The justice is rarely more immediate and important than when confronting both the scourge of crime and the tragedy of excess enforcement and mass incarceration.
Mm.
So we have two things here that we need to be concerned about.
Yeah, I think we've touched on the fringes of this previously, but I really like, Sir French is really going to dive into this. And I think this will be a helpful conversation for us. It takes it in a more specific direction to get at some of the, because we have talked previously about the difference between like what we call the justice system and like God's justice. We've talked about that before, but I think this is going to help us dive into that a little bit more intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Because we almost, even when we've talked about justice, we've almost rarely talked about criminal justice
Right.
Yeah.
or the criminal system.
Right.
And in fairness, we are amateurs. You know,
I've watched Law and Order. Okay. Yeah. It's fine.
I've watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
There it is.
Yeah. So when it comes to navigating those waters, we are definitely on the outside looking in. My biggest interaction with the police has been speeding tickets. I've never been handcuffed by the cops. I've never been in the back of a police car. I've never had gone to a court system except for once for a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And I went, and now I just do it all online. And that was when I was a teenager. So
so it's not that you only got one speeding ticket. It's that you just haven't had to go back to court.
No. You just do it all online.
Right.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
What's the easiest possible way to get out of this?
Done.
Pay a fine, take defensive driving.
Done.
Which I've done. Yeah. So.
I respect that approach.
Yeah.
And he's definitely going to say, look, compounding this challenge of talking about not only crime, but also excessive enforcement and vengeance from the political system is that those most engaged in politics in America, which are disproportionately white, educated, and well-off.
That's us, by the way.
I'm going to include all three of
that's
us
our podcast.
In that. And probably the majority of our listeners. They're often the least impacted by those things.
Because we get online and pay our speeding tickets and then we don't think about it again.
Yeah. So if we're most engaged in discussing like the solutions to these things, we're almost least engaged with the actual problems. So we're not really likely to see major bouts of crime in our communities, in our neighborhoods, or major overstepping of law enforcement in our communities and our neighborhoods. We're rarely going to see those two things. And so we often, and he's going to say this, we often find ourselves talking about communities who experience this rather than with communities who experience these things.
Which I think is what we've really experienced in the last year and a half, as we've seen, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, defund the police, things like that. I think we're getting these groundswells of movements of people saying, we're the communities who need to be trying to solve this because we're the ones that are affected by this. And then you're getting a whole bunch of communities saying, I'm not affected by that. You don't, why are you talking about it? Why? And I think that's the conflict. That's the word I'm looking for. The conflict that's expressing itself there.
Yeah. So here, and he's going to say, this is going to kind of lead into his article.
All right.
Here is his fundamental concern.
Yes.
Right. If we fail to fully understand what justice is and to distinguish between justice and vengeance, then fears of crime and fears of law enforcement may cause us to amplify and repeat the profound injustices of the recent past.
I love this quote because I think this gets at what I've been trying to put words to for a while that I have not been able to do, and he does it very well. Yeah. There's the difference between what we describe as justice, or what we think is justice, and vengeance. And a lot of times our system of justice, right, the judicial court system, leans on vengeance rather than playing into any sort of justice. And justice is really intended to restore wholeness to the community, and rather our system is kind of more designed to tear the community apart in an attempt to establish authority. And so we're really leaning heavy into that vengeance side. And so distinguishing between those is very helpful.
It's like preemptive vengeance, too, in a lot of cases, because it's a lot of like nonviolent crime that's
we're going to stop it here.
Yeah, extremely harshly.
And I think we're going to get into this in an article. Might not work.
Yeah.
Or might not work to the
level.
The
way you think it does.
The way that, to the intent that we're trying to get it to work.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might not even work. It might even cause the problem it's trying to solve. Which is very, it happens often. We're trying to solve the problem and our solutions only make the problem worse. So he's going to come up with three big parts here. Impunity is unjust. Vengeance is unjust. And justice, not vengeance, leads to deterrence.
Justice, not vengeance, leads to
Okay.
So what does impunity mean?
What's impunity mean?
Yeah.
It means you can do whatever you want.
Right?
Yeah.
So, lack of consequence.
If I act with impunity, it means I'm acting with a sense of I can get away with anything. I can do whatever. No one's going to get me in trouble. It's like, you know, you got a kid who's been getting away with stuff in class for a while. And so eventually they're like, oh, yeah, I can just do whatever I want in this class. And eventually they, you know, probably go too far and the teacher snaps, right? And because the teacher has let it build, the kid gets a sense of I can do whatever I want and you can't do anything to me. You know, it's that kind of thing, only on a much bigger scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So This is going to be two ways that we're going to see this. One, criminals committing crimes with impunity, without lack of consequence.
That's no good.
And two, law enforcement overstepping civil rights with lack of consequence.
Also not good.
Awesome. Yep. Yes.
And we have hit on that a little bit, but I think that's one of the biggest points for me is that the justice requires that law enforcement also has consequences mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. they step into vengeance, right? Yeah. That's justice is on both sides of that coin.
Yeah. And so we're seeing both of those things are unjust.
Yeah.
Both of those things. So it's not just like, hey, sometimes we got to support back the blue. And if they break a few eggs, it's all
Their
worth
job
it.
Job is really hard.
Yeah, it's all worth it because it puts criminals behind bars. Mm-hmm. That's equal, according to Mr. French here, can be equally as bad as criminals just getting running amok in our streets.
Yeah.
That it does not solve those problems.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the last 18 months, right? It created an environment in which people were more likely to be in heightened conflictual engagements with the police, mm-hmm. which leads to more potentially violent incidents, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if people see the police as someone that they do not trust and cannot trust, they're already going to be more on edge. And if they're on edge, the police are going to be more on edge, and they're going to be more likely to engage in this vengeful and harmful behavior that is not appropriate for the situation.
It's also interesting.
And that's not even feeding in any sort of implicit bias that's already there as well. Sure. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think it's interesting that the focus is putting criminals behind bars and mm-hmm. not avoiding crime happening to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not the policy everywhere.
Right.
I mean, this is a uniquely American take on crime.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe not uniquely, but it is.
It is certainly very American. American. Yeah.
There's a fascinating podcast from Freakonomics Radio that's a couple weeks old now. So I don't know, sometime in middle of September, this would have... Mm-hmm. Yeah, September. This would have come out. But it was talking specifically about American policing versus policing in Great Britain and the UK. It is just very fascinating.
Yeah.
I've even seen like images of like a cop car in some places like brightly colored. So mm-hmm. you know, if I'm in trouble, there's the police.
Yep.
And sometimes in America, our cop cars are like
hidden.
Yeah.
They're lurking around the corner ready to pounce. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's kind of this different image of what is the role of a cop in society.
Yeah.
You know, and that matters, you know, how do we view what this is. All right, so the Murder Accountability Project, which is a watchdog that tracks unsolved murders, found some alarming stuff.
Okay.
It's remarkably easy to get away with murder
in the United States,
especially if the victim is black.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they analyze all this data. If the victim is white, 47% of cases were solved.
That's so slow.
A coin flip.
Yeah.
If a victim is white, it's a coin flip. And that's how many cases were solved. If the victim is,
you know, I'm just going to say they always solve it on CSI.
Yeah.
They do.
What's going on?
Or Law and Order, right?
Yeah.
You know, in 42 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, an hour with commercials, 42 minutes without. Yeah. So like.
I feel like I can do it from a couch and my Cheerios.
And in Law and Order, they not only solve it.
They prosecute
him. Right. He's in jail at the end of it. Right. Like, yes. If they're Hispanic, 33%, a third of murders get solved. If they're African American, 20-ish%. So if a white person gets murdered, it's about a coin flick. If a black person gets murdered, it's a little bit better odds than a roll of a dice and trying to hit a six.
Yeah.
So that is tough.
Yeah.
Again, remarkably, you know, if 4 out of 5 black people who are murdered go unsolved in the community, mm-hmm. that is going to lead to an alarming amount of unrest and an alarming understanding of, if I'm a criminal, I can act with impunity.
Right. Yeah.
This will not be solved. Mm-hmm. I have a good chance of it just going away.
Yeah.
And if you're a victim, a good chance of I'll never seek justice for my loved one who was killed. I'll never feel that there was a tangible consequence or I have closure. That's remarkably difficult for a community to undergo. If your odds are, hey, 20% chance.
Yeah.
Something, some kind of resolution will happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to say at the front of this, I would not choose to murder someone, but there are a lot of things that you would say to me, oh, there's a 20% chance of a thunderstorm, I'd still go out and play, like, you know, I'd take my kids to a park or go out, you know, and do something else. Like 20% is not
good odds. That high.
I'd get it. 80% chance of me doing what I want to, that's great. Those are good odds. I do not want to murder anyone, just
and,
to be clear,
and neither should you.
No, you're right. Also, dear listener, thank you.
Absolutely. All right, so that was kind of this idea of impunity leads to injustice. And he's going to go expand upon this greater in the article. I don't want to just like read the article to everybody here.
Right, no, that's helpful. Though I do think it's, you know, one of the things that he says in this particular notion is fear of crime has caused Americans to empower police beyond the rightful bounds of the law. And mm-hmm. this is the impunity piece as well, that
yep.
we, right, as the what, how did you classify us? The educated, well-off white America, sure. right? Mm-hmm. We are so afraid of crime mm-hmm. that we say, oh yeah, you police, do whatever you need to do. I'll look the other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is causing just as much harm, because we've done that for so long that now we have an entire generation or generations of police who have given their lives to this, who have grown up doing this a certain way. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to, you know, they don't want to see the fault in their own actions or in the actions of those who went before them or in the actions of those. And so we now have a generation of police who also think they can act with an impunity.
Yeah.
And that's just as harmful as mm-hmm. the criminals thinking that they can act with impunity. Both of those are amplifying this sure. problem rather than dismantling.
That militarization of the police force, especially ooh, when yeah. it's like, this doesn't affect my community, but mm-hmm. I'm authorizing for you to do this in their community. Right. Mm-hmm. In that yep. part of mm-hmm. our city, in those neighborhoods, in that apartment complex, no-knock raids, cops in, you know, basically riot gear, like yep. swarming in almost like a tank mm-hmm. running yeah. the thing. It's not happening in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm willing to write the check for it to happen in somebody else's.
Yeah. Right. This is probably a good spot to recommend. Again, I know we have in previous episodes the the video by the VeggieTales founder about redlining.
Yeah, that's yeah. a good one. Yeah.
And social.
Yeah. Phil Vischer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Social injustice.
YouTube so. Him, and he's got a lot of neat stuff out there
yeah.
too.
Yeah. yeah.
All right.
For some more context on that discussion.
Sure.
Yeah. So vengeance mm-hmm. is unjust.
Yes.
This is the next bullet point here.
Boom.
Here we go. Got his thoughts. Proportionally, in an absolutely
big words.
Here we go. Proportionality.
yeah. There it is.
Is an absolutely indispensable element of justice. Man, words are hard.
We all love you, Patrick. Right. It's fine.
The punishment should fit, not exceed the crime.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Even the much maligned concept of lex talionis.
Latin. Think of
Eye for an eye.
There it is.
Represents a limitation on the human temptation to exact overwhelming retribution, vengeance on your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea, you know, the Old Testament idea of eye for an eye was like, it was supposed to be proportional vengeance. Mm-hmm. My eye is taken.
Proportional justice.
Proportional justice. My eye is taken, so your eye is given.
Yep.
Not two eyes.
Right.
Or my hand is taken, your hand is given.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be that. Oftentimes, it's not.
Yeah.
yeah. This is not how it always played out, but that was...
That was the idea yeah. behind it. All right. So what do we think here? That this idea of justice, sometimes we confuse justice as vengeance. That becomes an injustice. How?
Well, I think at least you've hit on this a little bit already. You know, how do we look at the crime that is committed and the punishment that is doled out for it, or mm-hmm. The sentence that's authorized for it. So you get a low level nonviolent crimes, mm-hmm. And people say, oh, well, we're going to use this either as a deterrent, or we're going to use this as our means for preventing further crime by locking you up for 20 years
right.
for this nonviolent, you know, robbery. Like he tells a story of someone who had a life sentence, I think, because he had the three strike rule mm-hmm. that amount, like the total of his crimes was $220-something
yeah,
dollars,
crazy.
And he's behind bars for
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
You know, that's certainly not the only story of that situation. I don't think a life sentence is a proportional consequence to someone who caused you $220 in
right.
damages, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, $220. That's even like an easy total. Like, it's not even like, well, what is an eye? Like,
yeah.
no, it's $220. Right. I know what that is. And so I think we do see that play out. And, you know, I do not have the statistics on this, but from every article that I read and pieces that I'm hearing as I try to learn more about this, right? Those consequences that justice, as we want to call it, is not always handed out evenly, right? And so
right.
I go in for, you know, we can just use speeding tickets, right? Mm-hmm. You go in, Patrick, as a speeding ticket, and you pay a fine online. Someone else who maybe also has, you know, a tag that's delayed for some reason, or is driving someone's car that's not their own but didn't steal it. They have every right to be in it. They just are driving someone else's car, or maybe they've had another moving violation or whatever that might be. They're suddenly, you know, getting pulled out of the car and arrested.
Yeah.
And they're in a situation where, you know, the police officer is now on edge, and, you know, then things happen
yeah.
and horrible things happen in those mm-hmm. situations. And that's when the system is not even, you know, going all the way to a court. And we see that even
sure.
more when we face people in juries, and we have the bias of the jury and everything else that plays into that as well. But I think we get ourselves into the place of, particularly if we want to think about murder, we get ourselves into the place of saying, well, this victim's grief is so terrible. Mm-hmm. We need this person to suffer mm-hmm. as much as that victim is suffering.
For the family.
For the family. And yep. that's not what vengeance, that's not what no. God's justice is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
If we're, as Christians, if we're supposed to be proclaiming God's justice to the world, that's not it.
Yeah. And in a strongly religious country like the United States, mm-hmm. it is alarming that many politicians make a lot of good headway. Like, they get a lot of support on a tough on crime mm-hmm. bandwagon. Like, that's kind of their support, which is odd, because I've never seen a politician, you know, really kind of like in Jesus's analogy, his parable about the sheep and the goats and who you visit, what you do for the least of these, you do it to me. One of the things he does is, when you visit a prisoner,
yeah.
you're doing that for me. And when you don't, you're doing that, you're not visiting me. Mm-hmm. Like, never do we really kind of see like major political figures on either side of the aisle running on this prisoner compassion yeah. Form, which Jesus is for, like yeah. in this idea, like that's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. The Christian life is supposed to be about visiting and concern for prisoners. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the one out of all those things that we're supposed to be concerned for in Matthew that most churches, most Christians, myself included, mm-hmm. kind of conveniently ignore. Yep. Like, we're like, hey, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked,
uh-huh, yep. sick, another thing. Yeah,
all okay. on board, care for prisoners. They're the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy talk.
They're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of how we think. And even though, you know, we can acknowledge, and he acknowledges this, like, our Justice Department has come a long way.
Sure.
It's no longer maybe intentionally racist and has like racial components where we're intentionally handing harder sentences mm-hmm, down to mm-hmm. people of color. There are still some and he would say maybe unintentional. Maybe some other people left of David French might say it's still kind of intentional.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he at least is acknowledging like it's still happening.
Yeah.
Like, even if a judge isn't racist, black people are still going to jail
right.
at higher rates mm-hmm. for the same crimes.
Well, and sometimes yeah. judges' hands, I mean, for, you know, we hold the judge to a certain standard, but sometimes the judge's hands are tied by laws that are passed on what sentences they're allowed to hand down. And so, yeah. you know, this is something big that came out with drug laws and the difference between punishment or what we call minimums, right? And the minimum punishment that you're going to get for holding heroin versus holding crack. And crack was much more likely to be in a low-income mm-hmm. black neighborhood mm-hmm. and had a much higher punishment rate than heroin, which was, you know,
sure.
what all the senators' kids were doing in their parties. And so, yeah. I mean, it's things like that. Like, the judge may or may not have any desire, but they're, you know, they're hand-tied by the law as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it's the judge's fault. Sometimes it's the system.
Yep.
It's always bad.
Okay.
One big medieval mess.
So, this is some data here.
All right.
Per 100,000 citizens.
Oh, I like this graph a lot.
How many are in jail?
In the United States?
Yeah. This is the per 100,000, how many are in jail? These are the top 10 countries.
Oh, we're going to do this Letterman style? Top 10.
Right.
You want to guess?
I actually looked at the graph, and so I know it pretty well. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, no guessing.
I'll count from
10. I know who's at number one.
I'll count from 10 to 1.
Okay.
We love being number one.
So, in 10th place, the Bahamas. Then we have Thailand.
That one's surprising to me.
Yeah.
What's going on in the Bahamas?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. What you got to be mad about down there?
It's in that Beach Boy song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bermuda.
Bahama. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's in there. Come on, Pretty Mama.
Right, there you go.
Montego.
There you go.
Montego.
Yeah.
Baby, why don't we go?
Down to Kokomo. There.
Yeah, there. Thailand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Virgin Isles, UK Virgin Isles.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Sure.
British.
The Maldives.
Okay.
Cuba.
They just had aren't the Maldives where that volcano was erupting recently?
I have no idea.
Maybe.
I think that was
Maldives are like super strict.
Yeah.
And
that's probably.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cuba.
Sure.
Rwanda.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Palau.
I don't even know where that is.
The Survivor was filmed there once.
Okay, cool.
Turkmenistan.
Ooh.
El Salvador.
Uh-oh.
And number one with the bullet, the United States of America.
All right.
By a significant amount.
Yeah. for the prison system.
Yeah, it. I mean, when you're looking at these numbers, it's like a little bit like the Sesame Street song. Like, one of these things is not like the other. and he's gonna say like, hey, North Korea is probably on there.
Right.
We can't really trust. They're probably number one. Right. If we're really being honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
But that's not
a list we really want to be at the top of.
Yeah, first world countries, Western ideals.
Yeah.
The United States is standing alone.
Yeah.
None of our peers are on this list.
We don't see Great Britain, Canada, Japan, Mexico, Germany, France. Like, none of these places are on there.
Yeah, none of our peers are up there. We're with kind of like
and they're not
impoverished countries.
Yeah, those are not crime-riddled. Like, our peers are not crime-riddled, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then we think we need to hold. It's not like, oh, they don't have people in prison and everybody's unsafe all the time. Like, no, that's
it's like Sweden. And
yeah.
Where everybody's happy.
I thought everybody was sad in Sweden.
No, everybody's happy in Sweden.
I thought they're all depressed.
It's like one of the happiest, like,
yeah, Sweden,
statistically,
Denmark,
like,
the Norwegian.
I thought it was like, you know, the
corridor.
12 months of winter thing that made everybody sad.
No, they just, they go visit Thailand during that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
go to jail.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, that's an interesting statistic, right? Yeah. Like, that should alarm us and concern us that the United States has the greatest percentage of people behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
That does not feel right.
And it should concern us as people of faith because we have to be asking ourselves, how is this helping us pursue God's vision of justice?
Yes.
Right? This isn't just a matter of, oh, well, I'm, you know, conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican, right? No, you're a follower of Jesus. And so our pursuit is God's kingdom, God's justice on earth. And so this should concern us because this doesn't seem to be a vehicle to bring about that justice in the way that we want it to be.
And I think we're going to get there in our last point, because sometimes the criticism will be like, hey, if you're not pro vengeance against criminals, you just want criminals going free, living their life in your neighborhood. Nobody wants that. People in impoverished communities do not want that.
Right.
They want their murder solved. They want violent criminals behind bars.
Yep.
They want gangs, you know, coming after the black police. They just don't want their husbands, fathers, grandfathers, children, wives going to jail for having a little bit of marijuana on them, and now all of a sudden they're in jail for 7 years when the white kid down the street got a slap on the wrist for the exact
community
same
service.
Thing. Yeah, got community service. Yep. They just don't want that. And that leads to, I mean, imagine in your family, if one of your monetary owners, your, you know, mom or dad, husband or wife, is all of a sudden behind jail for 8 years. What does that do to a family system?
Yeah.
It leads to awful things. And so if there's ways to get around that, and then also, what does that do to the person behind bars? Oftentimes, nonviolent criminals go to jail and they learn how to be criminals, not rehabilitated, and not ready to go back into society because of a drug addiction or stupid mistake that they made, or things like that. They just learn how to be a criminal because they're with all the violent criminals.
Yeah.
All right, so last one. Justice, not vengeance, leads to deterrence. And so I think this is the most interesting, because this isn't saying like, hey, justice is what we should pursue because we're Christian, which is true, but justice is also what we should pursue because it's more effective, because
God knows what God is doing.
Like, like, it's not even just like an emotional or faithful cry. It's saying like, this actually works better than a vengeance or impunity based system. Like, so anything stand out to you on your notes there, Pastor David?
Yeah, I've got one quote here, because this felt like a very Lutheran line. I don't have any reason to believe that David French is Lutheran, but he says this he's trying to form this kind of coalition. You can go into that later. But so he says the coalition has to stand in the gap between defund the police and lock them up, between criminal rule and police impunity, and articulate a vision of justice that preserves public order, human dignity, and individual liberty. And I think he and I would probably disagree on what individual liberty means, just from his other leanings. But I think this idea of standing in the middle, right? I mean, we've said this so many times on this podcast. I know I say it all the time, you know, just in my preaching and teaching, right? As people of faith, more often than not, our job is to stand in the middle and try to pull people together rather than leaning hard to one side or the other. I mean, there are times where we take a stand, but more often than not, it's standing in the middle and saying there is another way. And that way leads us, in this case, towards God's vision of justice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I kind of wish that the conversation went back a little bit farther to ways to prevent justice from being a necessary thing to pass down, you know? Because, I mean, I think, you know, we have these conversations in other arenas. For one, I guess abortion probably comes to mind for me, you know, where you talk about, okay, you want less abortions to happen, fine. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about ways to prevent the need, right? But we don't do that so much with crime. It's just a reactionary thing. I'm curious why, maybe somebody has, I just haven't heard it mainstream yet, why we aren't leaning into that idea with crime.
Yeah, I don't know that he would make this point. I would argue that a true pursuit of God's justice would lean into that, that it would be working to, I mean, in one sense, right, even if the initial wave of justice, right, were to come as a response, as a reaction, right, if you're working towards true justice, you're rehabilitating those people to be reintegrated into society, to be faithful community members who are going to hopefully pass on those stories. Like, it's the best hope that we have, you know, what in a criminal justice system was set up to do, right, is to bring people back into society and then use their stories to help show other people, this is why you don't want to go down, like, this is why you don't want to commit that crime. This is why you want to, you know, just pursue this other life and have these other options. So I think justice could lead into that, but he definitely does not take the conversation there. And I think that's a very reasonable critique. Yeah.
Well, one of the ways he does kind of, I think, does address this, and I think is interesting. So oftentimes we hear, like, we have to have harsh criminal sentencing to deter criminals. But the reality is most criminals, in fact, most of us, don't really know what that sentencing actually is.
I have no idea. If I rob a bank with a gun, I have no idea what the sentence is going
to
be.
I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I don't know. Like,
I'm pretty sure.
What's that going to look like
I'm
for me?
Pretty sure I'm not supposed to do
it.
Am I going to Martha Stewart's prison? Like,
if I hit somebody with a car, my car, I have no idea what kind of criminal, you know, obligation I owe to society. How many years is that? I don't know. That's not why I don't do it, right? Like, I'm not like, and that's not why anybody's, that doesn't mean anything to really anyone. Like, nobody's out there like, I would hit that guy with my car, but I know that's going to be 12 to 18 years. You know, like, and
I won't do it.
And I want those 12 to 18 years. Nobody really knows those things. And so, like, especially if we're thinking about low-income criminals, they're not, that's not the way it is. So he says harsher sentences don't actually work. In fact, using police more as sentinels are going to, like, hot spots where crime is happening is a better deterrent.
Just be present in the area.
A police presence in a community that's part of a community is better than coming down hard on a handful of bad apples.
The problem with that is that right now that police presence is being established in an unhealthy way.
And I think he you know, it's kind of addressing that in that impunity. We're saying, like, a healthy police system that's part of a community that's there to deter crime is much better than a police system that's there to bust the bad apple, you know, that's solely existing to kick down the door of the of the real awful ones.
This is the British police car that stands out so you know, hey, we're here, so that if you need something, I'm here, versus the police car that's hiding in the alley unmarked waiting for something to happen so that we can come out and get you.
That you're always, that I know the cops are there, so I'm not going to do anything. And that works better. And you know, I'm sure people out there are like, well, they'll just go where the cops aren't. But I don't think that's not what the statistics are saying. Not only worldwide, but also in America. And I do like this idea of, like, we have to stand in the gap. And that means, as Christians, Jesus says, I'm present in criminals. And that in America can be violent criminals. It can also be nonviolent criminals who are there on a three strikes rule, on trumped up drug charges, on these things. Like, we need to stand kind of in that gap for them. All right.
It's a hard gap to stand in.
Yeah, it is.
The gap is almost always hard to stand in because there's nothing beneath you, but it's hard.
Mind the gap.
But it does mean we can't allow fear to drive us to repeat strategies that don't work and systems that are clearly biased towards others, especially when we're on the outside looking in. And I think right at the top, we need to do a better job as a society of, like, being with communities that are experiencing this and not talking about communities that are experiencing this. And this is a podcast where we're talking about those things. I'm owning that myself. Like, this is somewhat self-critical of, like, I need to do a better job of understanding communities that are have high crime rates, that have high distrust of police, of community with them, versus talking to my white neighbors about what goes on over there. You know, like, that just doesn't help. That just doesn't help.
I mean, we spend a lot of energy, I think, focusing on the crime and almost none focusing on the potential motivation for crime. Because I think almost all crime has a motivation, you know? We're not concerned with that.
Do you have a crime that doesn't have a motivation?
I mean, serial killers. I mean, that's
still a motivation.
It's a thing. I mean, that's like a, you're like certified wackadoodle at that point.
Yeah, but you're still motivated. I mean, yeah.
Sure,
to be on a podcast.
Motivated, yeah.
Because there's tons of serial killer podcasts right now.
There are, yeah. Grimes podcasts. Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like most crimes are not committed just by insanity. Well,
most aren't spur of the moment.
Yeah. There's, you know, most of these things that we're discussing are, I don't know, financial dire straits or...
Yeah. Desperation.
You know, desperation, being in bad, you know, gang situations, sad social situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, we don't spend much energy discussing or worrying about that and how to help alleviate that. It's all about the crime.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this is a wholly helpful analogy, but I'm going to try it out and see if it fits.
Let's go.
If you imagine, you know, we have a patient who's getting a cancer diagnosis from a doctor, right? The doctor has a very clear plan of this is how I'm going to treat your symptoms. But the patient is also going to need to be coming back and saying, but this is what's working and this is what I'm still experiencing. Mm-hmm. And these are the struggles that I'm still having. And if either party is not listening to one another, they can't move forward in a healthy treatment plan, right? And so there are going to be situations where we as a whole society have to do a better job of listening to the communities where this is really a problem. All right, we have to do a better job of listening to underprivileged Black and Hispanic communities. We have to do a better job of listening to the police as well, mm-hmm. to, you know, hear what are their legitimate concerns. And then we have to do a better job of getting us to talk to one another, and so that we can actually find a path forward where we're all working towards the same goal. We're all working towards safer communities, right? Mm-hmm. We're all working towards a place where we don't have to have the highest incarceration rate in the world. We're all working towards a place where our kids don't have to live in fear as they walk to school, or we don't have to imagine that our kids are in danger as they walk to school, right? We're all working towards that place, but we have to be able to hear one another, whether we think we're the doctor or whether we think we're the patient, wherever we are, we have to be able to hear one another to find a path forward. Otherwise, we're just shouting into the wind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. So I highly recommend if you want to read more from David French, you can just Google David French. I think his website is The Dispatch.
Sounds right.
And the French Post is his like blog on that website.
French Press.
There you go. French Press.
Which is why the first time I thought it was a actual newspaper. Like, the French Press.
Yeah, or like a coffee blog.
Yeah, coffee.
I don't drink coffee, so I didn't get the coffee thing until now. Yeah. But that's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode or any other... what's happening? Oh, nice. Okay. If you like this episode or any of our other episodes of Beyond Sunday, Criminal Intent, SVU, the original, however you like your Beyond Sunday, we're available at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can send us a note about this episode or any of our other things that you have questions on or other thoughts. Send them to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Do you have a favorite Law & Order?
The original.
The original?
Original.
I like SVU.
I mean, SVU is fine. SVU, it was when they started to really get into like storylines for the detectives and stuff, and I was really just in it for
it.
The
murder.
I wanted to watch like, you know, an episode here, an episode there. I didn't want to have to like have seen an entire season to understand what was happening. That's just not why I was into. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Beyond Sunday, brought to you by Dick Wolf again.
There you go.
We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.